How's everyone today?
Great.
So I'm going to put this out there now and apologize, because raise your hand if you know there's a woman by the name of Emma Curtis Hopkins. Raise your hand if you know that name. Okay, so my apology. Recently, I've been reading a lot of Emma Curtis Hopkins, and her readings slap you in the face. Like, it makes you reassess what this thing called new thought really means. So, since she has made me so uncomfortable, I would like to share some of that with you today. Now, let's start off with, just off the bat, how many of you read the title of today's talk? Okay, so if that didn't send up a couple of little beep, beep, beep flags, kind of like, what does this mean? Because often getting into conversation with folks about new thought and this teaching and the philosophy, I hear things that we say, and I sit back and I listen, because sometimes I say some of the same things. And we reference certain things in a way that is more of the world and in the world and human consciousness, ego consciousness, scarcity consciousness, lack consciousness, etc. Right? And let me give you, this is a real short, quick kind of synopsis. Don't answer this question, but think about it. Last Sunday was what? This one you can answer. Last Sunday was what?
Easter.
Now, this is the question. Do not answer, but think about it. What's so special about Easter? In terms of what's so special about Easter that is not also special about today or tomorrow or Wednesday? Because what I find is oftentimes we'll take a day, an idea, and we will exalt it above here, and we will praise it and worship it as if that is somehow different and unique from everything else. But if we're going to say God is all there is, one power, one presence, was, is, and is forever to be the same, then the same power that we praise and worship on Easter is right here accessible in us, with us, and as us. So that means what Easter represents should be right here. And what we often do is we have faith in God. But Emma Curtis Hopkins says, boop, no, 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 no. If we're going to say that there is only one power and one presence, and God is all there is, then that means God is right there where you are. And if it is right there where you are, then the faith that you have is it having faith in itself. Because if we're it, then it's not some separate power, some separate deity, some separate life force, some separate whatever. It's actually showing up right here in us, with us, moving through us. And the most important thing that we miss is it's as us. Because it's really easy to wake up on Monday morning with a pain in your back, with a sore knee, have a bill collector call you and tell you, "Hello, Mr. Anderson, the amount of money that you owe today is $8,629, payable yesterday." It's real easy to get into that. It's real easy to go on the news and hear about something, somewhere, someone is doing and curse and be angry at and shake a fist and wish we had a brick to throw at the television. But if God is all there is, then whoever we are projecting that anger toward is also God. See, the challenging thing is, many, many years ago, I was a student at the Art Institute of Pittsburgh. So this is about 1984, 85. And I had an art teacher there, Flavia Zortia. And Flavia was the kind of person that if you stepped in her face and let some nonsense come out of your mouth, "Flavia, I can't do this," Flavia would jump up from wherever she was and literally get in your face to the point where her nose was touching your nose. Talk about invasion of personal space. Till her nose, and she was a relatively short woman, so sometimes it was her forehead touching the nose, but she would get in your face What do you mean you can't do something? You can do whatever it is you decide, like, and challenge you that the manner in which you are thinking is attracting, demonstrating, manifesting, and creating. Now, I'm getting this message in 1984, 85. And I was saying something and complaining about, you know, whether it was my family and what I couldn't do because of them or whatever. And she said, Raymond, come here for a minute. Do you know this man named Hitler? Yes. If you could go back to time and undo everything that Hitler did, would you do it? What do you mean? If I could go back in time and undo everything Hitler did, would I undo it? Of course. If you could stop him, would you? Yes. She said, what if your stopping him gave rise to someone worse than him? Would you stop him? Yes. And what if you stopping him and the next one gave rise to something that was now a group of, what would you do? Okay, wait a minute. Are you going to tell me every time I stop them that there's something bigger and bigger? Yes. And I sat with that and thought for a minute. And then she said, if you could go back and you could undo slavery, would you do it? Yes. Even though you may not be here if you undid it? Oh, I hadn't thought about that. Huh. And it really made me start thinking, because her ultimate point was, you are so focused on that time. You are so focused on what has happened that you are not focusing on what is here right now in the present. This is the only time you have. This is the only place you can effect change, right here, right now. How many of you would get in a car with me if I'm driving this way while looking in the rearview mirror that way at 55 miles an hour? Nobody? None of you trust me enough? But that's what we do with our lives. We are driving forward, full speed ahead, focusing on, but when I was a child, I was abused. But when such and such happened, then that's why I can't. That's why I have no faith in myself. That's why I don't feel self-worth, self-value, because of all the things that my parents, my teachers, my whomever have done to me in the past. So what? Because at some point we have to, especially in this teaching, at some point we get to the point where we say, God is all there is. Then what does that mean? Love is all there is. Then at some point, I should be able to look in the person in the mirror, see in their eyes, in my own eyes, and recognize love. And if I can get to the point of I love me because that's all I am, then why would I not feel worthy? See, what we do oftentimes is we belittle ourselves because we are afraid that someone will then belittle us. So we do, you know, we do the whole, well, I'm going to do it first. If I can stab me in the back before you get a chance to, ha ha ha, it's already there. So we hurt ourselves and knock ourselves down. We will not claim the power that we truly are for fear that others will think us arrogant. There's this guy in the Bible, you may have heard of him, named Yeshua, Jesus. And, you know, people were like, hey, did you just say that you're God? No, I didn't say it. You said it. So now what? There's this idea that if we were to claim the I am presence, how many around us would say, how dare you claim that you are the I am? How dare you claim that you have the power to change and transform your life? How dare you have the audacity to believe that you can say a prayer and cause healing? How dare you believe that you can meditate and change the face of the planet? How dare you think that you are all that and a bag of chips? How dare you? But see, the thing we miss is when we don't step into that power, when we don't acknowledge it, that's blasphemy. That's when we are dismissing who and what we fully are. What did it say in the gentleman who read today's reading? One of the lines was, find the freedom to live life who they are and as they are. Who and as. So pause for a second. We take classes and workshops to transform our lives, to go from poverty consciousness to wealth consciousness, from sickness to health. We take workshops and classes and read books and stuff. And one of the things I said last Sunday, we get so obsessed that we get into the whole thing like, did you hear that Oprah is going to have Deepak Chopra on? They're going to start their 21-day meditation thing. Oh my goodness, I have to do it because that's going to be the magic thing that's going to change my life, that everything will be different and I will be able to walk on water and turn water into wine and everything will be perfect then. Everything will be perfect then. Everything will be perfect then. When does then get here? There is no then, there's only now. So the most important thing to do is stop searching and seeking for what you already are. How many of us woke up this morning, looked in the mirror, didn't recognize the face, had to go to our wallet, pull out a driver's license and say, oh, that's Raymond, and that's me. How many of us forgot who we were today? Or went to bed last night and set forth the intention, tomorrow morning, I have to remember, because I might wake up differently, I have to remember. Go to bed, 51 years old, African-American male, named Raymond Anderson. Okay, because I might wake up tomorrow as a short Jewish woman named Martha. I don't know. So I have to set the intention. I have to set the intention because I might forget or I might lose track of who I am. We don't do that. We go to bed as who we are and we wake up as who we are. We go to bed as what we are and we wake up as what we are. So there's this part of us that is unchanging, that when all of this is shed, there is a part that is forever. The gentleman also mentioned how long the planet has been around. Do you recognize and realize that there is a part of you that has been around longer than that? Because the power that created that has been forever. And it's you. So just as infinite as it is, so are you. So we get into this confusing thing of linguistic dissonance and stuff. And I understand that there are times that we say things simply because I don't know what to say. But there has to be a part of our mind, our consciousness, that understands there is a difference. For example, I have 5 older brothers. The 3rd oldest and the 2nd oldest both have made their transition. Leslie, the 2nd oldest, made his transition last year. And my family asked me to, be the minister and, do the service, the funeral. And I said no. And I said no because I know what they wanted and I couldn't give what they wanted. Because what they wanted was, oh, Lord! Oh! Is what they wanted. You act like you're familiar with it. Some of you have been to some services like that, huh? That's what they wanted. They wanted me to pull a tambourine out of my back pocket and the whole handkerchief and wipe and sweat and the whole 9 yards. And I couldn't do it. So that's one. But then there are the, I put the stuff on Facebook and say, I'm in Pittsburgh for my brother's funeral or whatever. And people say there, I'm sorry for your loss. And people there, came into the funeral home and they're, I'm sorry for your loss. And I caught myself at one point and I said, what loss? Well, you lost your brother. I didn't lose my brother. I know exactly where Leslie is. And I'm not even talking about the body in the box. I'm talking about, and I caught myself like, And their look was like, one eye was this big and the other one was, I'm like, oh. Okay, so, and I had to explain. See, my faith, my understanding of life is, that's not him. That was the vehicle by which Spirit used, and even the vehicle is of Spirit. So it's not like this, once shed, is not of God. God is all there is. Source is all there is. The power is all there is. So even this shirt is made of God's stuff. The tie, all of the chair, all of it's God's stuff. So I understand that the body is still God's stuff, but that's not my brother. That power that is my brother goes on. It was there before the body was born or formed. It will be there long before that turns back into dust. And it is because it is. And they said, well, so you don't believe in death? No. Because Emma Curtis Hopkins says, in my good, and she equates good with God, in my good there is no place for anything that is unlike God. Can God die? No. Can that which is only life itself even recognize death? No. It's not something that in the mind of God, it's like, what? Like that doesn't even exist. So I can't even recognize that. Very similarly, anybody in here see there was a film called What the Bleep? I'm pretty sure it was in that. And there's a scene in there where they show a Native American shaman standing at the edge of the water watching how the water's moving. And he knows nature well enough to know this isn't the natural way the wave is supposed to move. It's moving like there's something out there, but I don't see anything. But based upon this evidence, there has to be something out there. So he stood and he stood until he opened his consciousness enough to recognize, oh, there are crafts of some sort. There was no reference point in his mind to know what that armada was. And because there was no reference point, he couldn't recognize it until he opened his consciousness to be able to say, there's something there, there's something there, there's something there, and there it is. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When we open our consciousness enough to know that there is a power moving in and through, around and as all that is, and we trust it, then why would we ever go forward and say that someone or something is evil? Because now we have set up that there is a power counter to God. So there can be no man, no woman, no circumstance or situation that we truly label as evil or bad in terms of this. Because to identify it in terms of this is to set it up as a deity of itself. In essence, we have now given birth to the devil. We have bought into the lie, we have bought into the illusion, and we have moved forth and said, every time I turn on the news and hear about some new law that I don't like, I'm going to worship at the altar of the liar. Because I'm buying into this. I am saying that that man, that woman, that situation is more powerful than truth. Rather than saying, when I see something that is in discord, disharmony, disarray, I'm going to anchor myself in truth, knowing there is only one power, and that power is love. There is only one power and one presence, and that is magnificence itself. There is only one power. And see, we say that God is omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent. God is omniscience itself, omnipresence itself. It is the very thing itself. So God is not simply loving. God is love itself. Because if it is love itself, then it has no choice but to demonstrate love. And if we are made in the very image and likeness of it, then we are also love made flesh. And if we are, then are we not also called and invited to demonstrate and manifest love in such a way that when you walk into a store, your presence, your consciousness changes the very atmosphere in that building. Because you are walking in there knowing who and what you are. There's this story in the Bible. And you may have heard of this guy. He went up this really big mountain and got these two tabs. Not Charleston Heston. Not him. Not talking about him. I'm talking about Moses. You heard of him? Okay, I'm just making sure. So Moses goes to this mountain and burning bush, the I am, and who are you? Because they're going to ask because they love names. And I am, gotcha. Write that down. Go back down. And he goes through the whole experience. And when he goes back down, the people see him and cannot look upon him because he shone with such radiance that they were blinded. And so Moses put a veil over himself. How many of us are covering our illumination? We are covering our radiance to make it easier for others rather than shine, baby, shine. That's called transmogrification. Now, there's another time in the Bible where transmogrification happened, where Jesus goes up a high mountain representing raising of consciousness. And he takes three disciples with him, Peter, John, and James. And this great guy, you may have heard of him, Charles Fillmore, identifies that Peter, John, and James represent faith, love, and order. Jesus took faith, love, and order to the top of the mountain with him, where he was transfigured. Now, transfiguration is simply the act of knowing who and what you are. Nothing else happens. There is no caterpillar to butterfly. There's none of that. It's simply knowing that you know who and what you are. Because when you know, Iyanla said it, and Maya Angelou says some version of it. When you know better, you do better. When you know that you are the Christ in human form, as you, and you are able to look at the face in the mirror and know that the I behind the I is the I am, it changes how you walk. Think about how many of us, no need to raise your hands, I will raise my hand for myself because I know what it felt like. How many of us at some point in our lives have felt beaten down, low self-esteem, depression, pain, worthlessness, something where you walked some version of this? Hey, how's it? Yeah, I'm good. Some version of that, where you could put on the great, yeah, everything's great. But behind that, you know that this thing called heartache is, that inside there are tears flowing, making rivers. Put on the face. I'm going to put on a brave face. Not an authentic face, not a transparent face, but a brave face, which means a lying face. I'm going to put the veil over. I'm going to lie and not let you see the who I am in this moment of pain. And then you take a class or you go to a therapist and you start to get some self-esteem. And you start to notice the sun is shining a little bit brighter. The air is a little bit sweeter. And you start raising your head up and shoulders are back and you're walking differently because you feel happier. And then when you really get to a place of, I really feel confident. I can do this. Then the entire manner in which you move changes. The way you speak to people changes. The way you interact with people changes. So then what does it mean that you, as the I am, you not having the faith in God, but having the faith of God? Because another thing that Emma Curtis says is that what you see, think about yourself is what you see or think about God. So every time you call yourself ugly, stupid, fat, lazy, worthless, I can't manage my checkbook, I can't manage money, I'm not good at this, I'm not good at that, you are telling creation itself, you made a mistake in showing up as me because I don't measure up to what you have labeled as the benchmark of magnificence. Because I'm not magnificent. I mean, I might be magnificent when I lose a couple extra pounds, Boop, wrong answer. You're magnificent now. I might be magnificent when I finish this class and get my, boop, you're magnificent now. Right here, right now, because there is no other time other than now. So how does that change the way we move throughout life? How does that change when we say namaste, right? Namaste. That which is divine in me, of me, sees and acknowledges itself in you. But suppose I have a cup, and it's called the namaste cup. And my namaste cup is only filled this much. Then when I see someone else, I can only see at least this much in them. I can only recognize in another what's in me. So keep in mind, when we identify evil, bad, etc. in another, the only reason we can do that is because on some level, doesn't mean that we are it, but it means that on some level there is a file in the cabinet called consciousness that we, okay, look, there it is, evil, because that's the only way we could identify it, is that we have it in there. What would happen if we were to elevate our consciousness to the degree that Jesus elevated his? Because Jesus never saw anyone sick, which is why healing was able to occur. He's like, oop, the girl's not dead. She's asleep. Get up. Oh, wait a minute. So what would be easier for him to get up and walk or, okay, take up your pallet and go? You want me to do what? Water into what? You have no business drinking, but okay, fine, here. Boom. The only reason, that's just my own little sidebar. It's not in the scripture. What would happen if we were incapable of seeing anything that was not of love, made of love, made in the image and likeness of love? What would happen if ugliness and poverty and war no longer existed in our consciousness to the degree if I went up to Ben and said, Ben, so did you hear on the news, blah, 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 war? And he said, war? Never heard that word before. What does that mean? Because it doesn't exist in his mind. War would end today. Because every single one of us would have in our consciousness that which is not it, which means peace. We would automatically raise and elevate the consciousness of the planet simply by refusing to feed it. How many of you know the Native American story where the young child goes to Grandpa and says, Grandpa, blah, 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 and Grandpa says, there are two wolves. But Grandpa, which wolf wins? The one you feed. Are we feeding the wolf of racism by talking about it in terms of, oh, it's so. It can be a thing that we work on and we heal, but depending on how we are speaking about it, we're giving it life of its own. There's a movie, I don't usually like to confess this, because being a spiritual person, some people look at me strange, but you know me, so I'm going to tell you. So there's this M. Night Shyamalan movie called Split. You don't have to admit that you saw it, because I already know some of you did. I already know, I can see it on your face. And I love being able to see movies that are not spiritual movies. They're not made to be. It's not like The Shack. Like The Shack was made to, here's the message, like, Split was made to scare folks. But here I go see Split, and I'm sitting there like, oh, the metaphysical lesson in this is one of, because there's a line in there where the bad guy, we'll call him that, the antagonist, says that what we are is what we believe we are. We become what we believe. So whatever we believe about ourselves, we are using the very creative principle that Jesus used, that Siddhartha Gautama used, that any guru, teacher, mystic, anyone used to create, demonstrate, and manifest. We are using the exact same power that Myrtle used to rid herself of TB. We are using the exact same power when we say, that's what I believe. The question is it what you want to believe then? Because when you believe it, and you believe it with a certain level of power, that's where your faith is. I have faith that men dominate women. I have faith that heterosexuality is the way to be. That's what I have faith in, because that's what I talk about. I have faith that this man who's running the country is whatever it is. I have faith in that. I have faith in this. I have faith in... Really? As a mystic and a metaphysician who walks this path called truth, is that what you, as the I am, is that what you are calling into manifestation? Is that what you are choosing to use your creative power to demonstrate? So what I do, and I encourage people to do, because around election time, I was getting a whole lot of emails, a whole lot of phone calls. And I encourage people, when you're watching the news, because a lot of us don't watch news because it's negative, it's bad, And I understand that. But I encourage us to use it as a prayer request. Whatever comes across the television, even if it's a reality TV show, it's the barbers of D.C. against the hairdressers of East Los Angeles, and yeah, whatever, I don't care what it is. It's reality TV and it's drama. And if it causes something to rise up in me where I'm like, that's it, girl, hit him, hit him. I'm going to go pray. It's a prayer request. So what I want to do is put into the one mind that there is peace. That thing that is making us drunk and addicted to the drama and the pain and the misery of others isn't necessary. It's not needed. That I don't need a soap opera to see how dramatic. I got drama in my own life. I don't need to watch it and add to it. So when we step back and we say, I have this level of faith where I have faith as the one power and the one presence, that what I allow to be in my mind, because there's only one mind, so when I align my human raised mind with the one mind, so the human thinking self with the divine thinking self, I am then able to only see love, joy, peace, creation itself in every corner. That I realize that every person that I see and every person that sees me is seeing the face of God. That every person that I touch and everyone who touches me feels the love of God through that touch. That everyone that I hear and everyone who hears me hears the voice of God saying, you got this. I got you. You are not good enough, but you are good because you and I are one. If we do that, everything in our lives will change. Because it's not simply our life. There's only one life. And that life is God's life. And that life is good. Let's meditate. So allowing ourselves to anchor in.